We'll begin. What is the most powerful force, not person, but force in the universe or here on planet Earth? Would it be nuclear power, which, if turned into a bomb, is incredibly destructive? Would it be something in nature, like a Category 5 hurricane, what they call a perfect storm? Again, very destructive. Is it something that we generally don't think about very often? Gravity at work, holding you down on planet Earth. Many people would point to something very different. It's the power of love. Now we're talking. Now we're heading in a good direction. If we have the right kind of love in mind. People have done incredible things in the name of love, to the point of sacrificing their lives to save a family member or a student during a shooting or a stranger or in defense of their country. Human love, however, has real limits in spite of how people should live this way. It is not strong enough to end the destruction of war or to stop the march toward death that everyone is facing. It takes a far greater, far stronger love, the one we're going to consider today in 2 Corinthians 5, reading two verses, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Last Friday in chapel, on the basis of Galatians 3, we considered the curse of sin, the curse of God's law, that Jesus took away from us by taking it on himself. Why would he do that? Why would he go to the cross to absorb all of God's anger, the full brunt of God's justice, and yes, suffer the essence of hell there, not just for you and me, but for every member of the human race, all the people who rebelled against him? You know the answer. We hear it in Romans 5. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There are connective words there with 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. I want to talk about the meaning of that last part. Since one very qualified person, Jesus, died not just for all the people, but in place of all the people, it is, as far as God is concerned, all people having already died. Now personalize that. When Jesus took your place on the cross, it's the exact same thing in God's book as you taking the curse of your sins in full on that same cross. This is powerful stuff. This self-sacrificing, substitutionary love of Jesus has not only killed and buried the debt of your sin, it has changed your status with God. No longer is he the righteous judge who must condemn you. Rather, he's the Heavenly Father who, in your baptism, has washed away your sin, adopted you into his family, and has stamped you with the same identity applied to Jesus at his baptism. When you are baptized into Christ and have put on Christ, God says to you and me, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Truly the love of Christ, meaning His love for you, is the most powerful force because of what it does in heaven and on earth. In heaven, it has secured your forgiveness from God, as well as your adoption into His family, and it holds your place there with Him. On earth, it has tremendous power to work on hearts and minds. This love of the Savior grabs your attention like nothing else can. It wins us over time and again. It has the power of the Spirit to rejuvenate your heart and mind with saving faith that grows and grows. And there's more. The love of Christ also energizes you to love Him back with actions, with a loyalty dedicated to the cause of fighting against sin daily, and a struggle to do the right thing for the right reason and to repent when you fail. Verse 15 is to the point. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. In the former state of unbelief, we would only know how to serve ourselves. To this day, our flesh still wants to walk that old path, doing things my way, not His way. But your faith has a better impulse. It steps up, ready and willing to do what the Savior would have you do. How else could it be any other way? We are talking about the One who died for us, who paid for us, and rose from the grave. Our service to Christ is on a higher level than what we would do in memory of a departed loved one or in honor of those who die for the sake of the country. Since we are serving Him who lives and reigns, the One who blesses and controls, the One who still loves us and wants us, though we fail Him and stray from His side. Surely His love has no parallel. It is the most powerful force with an everlasting reach, captivating your hearts while you're here on earth and pulling you up, both soul and body, all the way to His heavenly glory. Amen. We'll sing hymn 342, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. Stanzas 2, 3, and 5, hymn 342.